absolutely beautiful spring it has been. I mean, isn't it great to be outside the day after a rain? I mean, the air is clear, the pollen is washed out of it, everything's coming to life. Just this spring, I've noticed trees on this property that I have never seen before. I don't know what they are, and if you know what they are, please let me know. They're right over there, and there's also one, I think, directly behind me here. You see those purple flowers. That is not wisteria. And it almost looks like a tulip poplar, except it's purple.
It's a locust tree.
It's a locust tree. Okay. Now, are those the ones that shoot up really quickly at first? I hope.
I think it's a palonus
tree. Bob thinks it's a palonus tree, but I think Bob's saying that because he knows that we used to have all kinds of palonus trees that grew up around here, and I would take them out whenever they came up. But I don't think that's the case. Anyhow, God's creation is filled with beauty. He never stops surprising us. And if this fallen world has so much beauty, just imagine what the new creation will be like. It's surprises that I'd like to talk about today. Today we're going to look at a well-loved passage that has some beautiful surprises in it. One of the surprising things about God is the way that he bends to us. He doesn't have to do it, but you see that here as well in a very interesting way. In his kindness to our weakness, he does it again and again. And you see this in our scripture in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Usually, I avoid the kind of well-known passages because I like to bring out, you know, truths from some of the others. But this was one that I had to go back to again. So Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Looking at it this week, I saw some things I'd never seen before. So please follow along in your Bibles, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." May we pray. Lord, we've already prayed that you would move your truths to us and help us to hear your word afresh. Lord, we ask for the work that only you can do, the heart work of your Spirit. As we place ourselves before you, under your word, Lord, let us hear your voice, you alone, and let us know that it's you. Lord, we are hungry for you, for your truth, for your love, for the blessing of your Spirit close to our own, drawing us near. Lord, we cry out to you as we look to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we start with this passage this morning, let's get the most obvious part out of the way. Often when preachers look at this passage, they're not too complimentary of Peter. You've heard the sermon. I know you've heard it because I've preached it. Peter the rock took his eyes off of Jesus and sank like a stone. Yes, yes, Peter did that. Don't be like Peter. You know, we've all heard that sermon, right? And while that's true, the more I look at this, the more I think I owe him an apology somewhat. Because one of the things I didn't really realize until this week is there are 11 other disciples just sitting there in the boat. And what about them? Peter's the only one who had the faith to get out of it. So I just can't be hard on Peter under these circumstances. Actually, what he wanted to do and what he did with God's help was pretty cool. More on that later. Let's get started. Did you notice that Jesus sent the disciples away? Verse 22 tells us he put them in the boat and made them go ahead to the other side. Why? Well, what he does afterward shows us. Look at verse 23. After he had dismissed them, meaning the crowd, and I think the disciples as well, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Now, I've read this passage for years, and suddenly I realized what's going on here. Jesus is putting the kids to bed so that he could spend time with the Father. To put it another way, get out of here. Go to the other side of the lake. Now, Jesus might not have put it that way, but the point was he wanted to be alone with God. Now, there's a whole sermon in that somewhere if you look hard enough. Jesus is making time to be alone with the Father, and he's guarding it. It's precious to him. But Jesus doesn't leave the disciples alone for long. It's late at night. The wind is howling around them, and when they finally see him, well, verse 26, you got to love it, right? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. And you know they started rowing away from him. I mean, the text doesn't show that, but wouldn't you? But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Now this is where things really start to get interesting. I'd like to zero in on two things. Peter's question and Jesus' answer. Look at verse 28 and the first part of verse 29. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, let's pretend that we've never seen this story before. Doesn't that strike you as an odd request that Peter's making? I mean, what does it matter, really, if Peter walks on water or not? I mean, it's almost, you know, you see a little bit of self in that. I mean, think about this. You never see anything like this again, either with the disciples or in church history. No one else walking on water at any other time? In a way, it must not have been that important a thing. I mean, none of them walk on water that we know of. And notice also that he's not asking with a lot of faith. "Lord, if it's you," he says, "tell me to come to you on the water." Now, I just find that interesting at face value because it tells me that sometimes we may have just the smallest amount of faith. And yet when we come to God through his mercy, through his strength, he really is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So I think part of Peter's motive is he's being childlike. I mean, it's like if he sees Jesus doing it, He wants to do it too. It's like pretty cool. Lord, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus is just fine with that. So as we look at this, I think there are three takeaways for our own conversations with God and our faith. So here's the first. Stay really open. Peter's request, again, it seems so random, doesn't it? In a way, like Jesus is playing follow the leader. But I have to believe that Jesus loved it. So the first is, again, stay open, pray with imagination, look for God in the moment, and as you do, you may see something beautiful. But you are going to have to ask. God has ways of answering our prayers that we never thought of, and sometimes those may seem like off-the-wall prayers. Have you ever had that happen? I've had that happen so many times, and it is just the most beautiful thing when it does. I think of what James said, you do not have because you do not ask. I don't want to be that one who doesn't have or who doesn't experience what God wants to do because I'm not asking. I'd rather err on the side of asking too much, right, than not asking enough. God has ways of answering our prayers because he loves us. And just because we asked. Again, no one else in the boat asked. Peter did, and he got to walk. So stay open. Now, just because I said that, please don't start praying like, Lord, please bless me to win the lottery so I can bless Peace Church. You know? Pray instead something like, Lord, please let me reach that person who seems so disinterested in you. Please let me see that miracle of your heart transforming a life. And that brings us to the second observation. Let your requests start with your eyes on Jesus. Get as close to him as you possibly can. And let him be involved in your asking. Where did Peter get the idea of walking on water? He saw Jesus doing it. And we need to listen for his leading. And again, it comes often in surprising ways. Peter, again, he's just getting his request from Jesus out of a desire to be close to him. And if you get your request from God, you may still have to take some steps like Peter did, but they're almost always assured of an answer. Remember what the Lord did for us not too long ago here at Peace Church when we began the year with the conviction that we should pray for our building to be paid off at the end of the year? And about that time, we owed, I think, around $78,000 on it. But some of us had this conviction, no, the Lord wants us to pray that by the end of the year, the building will be paid off. So, you know, we took some steps. We did some bake sales. People gave faithfully. We did all of this. And it got down to $28,000 in August. And I went to the board, talked to the leadership team, and said, you know, we started the year this way. And kind of the consensus was, well, the end of the year is coming up pretty soon. So we really need to pray. So we doubled down on prayer. We doubled down on our efforts. But just a few weeks later, this was the interesting thing. God brought us a visitor, a lady who just lives up the street. And she and her husband came. They came for a few worship services. They came to some prayer meetings. And one night at a prayer meeting, we mentioned this need. And what happened was that after the prayer meeting, she approached me and she said, you know, my dad was a church planter like you are, someone who starts a church, you know, from ground up. And he left me an inheritance. And I think that this would really bless him. And so the next Sunday, she brings the church a check for $25,000. And, you know, The I think, you know, the 3,000 that was left, we took care of in no time. And this was in November. So again, God gave us this request at the beginning of the year. And we didn't talk a lot about money. You know that. That's not what it was about. This was really about just staying close to God and looking for what only He can do. So at the heart of this is whether or not we sincerely have Him at heart. Are we looking for Him? Are we saying, Lord, what do you want to do through me? What is it? Am I hearing you correctly? What, Lord, where do you want to go? Again, it's that childlike openness. Now for the third thing. We have to look to Jesus with believing faith. There's a difference between throwing up a request to see if it works and believing something will actually happen. But remember, if God is in the request, He will also give you the faith to see it done. I mean, somehow God caused us to believe. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we really believe God wants this building paid off by, you know, the end of the year. When was that? 2011, I think. I'm not sure. 2015? I don't know. Anyhow, think about this. I mean, look at Peter. Here he is in all of his imperfection walking on water. I mean, just look at him. I mean, we tend to look at what happened at the end, but for several steps, man, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Peter is the only other person besides Jesus in history who does this. And I know he looked away, but he should get credit for trying. Sometimes we're like, well, look at Peter. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Shame on you, Peter. But would we do it? Or are we just sitting in the safety of the boat, wagging our finger? Look at Peter. Really, look at him. Look at him go. Man, I want to be that guy. Don't you? I mean, I may face plant. I probably will 10 seconds later. But you know what? Jesus was right there. Verse 31 says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. So Peter almost made it. I mean, that's what I want to see in this. He was that close. And think about this. I mean, I know Jesus said, you have little faith, why did you doubt? But think about this. If Peter had little faith for doubting in that moment, what about those who never had enough faith to even get out of the boat? And then think about this. If that faith to walk on water is just a little faith to Jesus, what kind of faith would He like us to have? What are we missing? What else might be possible with Him as we look to Him and ask? The important thing not to miss here, again, is that Peter never would have walked on water if he hadn't asked. Now, he did it entirely in Jesus' strength, but it all started with a small step of faith as he just looked to Him, as he watched Jesus, as he saw what He was doing. And he thought, I think that is Jesus. I want to do that. I think looking at this should make us say, me too, Lord. Help me to ask. Help me to believe. Help me to know when you're saying no or when I'm asking for less than the best reasons. Help me to trust you when it's hard, but help me to live by faith. I don't want my life to be that place where Jesus did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. I want to hear what you told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah, because you prayed. Help me to understand, Lord, that it's not about what I want or about sensationalistic things. It's not me, me, me. Help me to make it about you, to ask after your heart, and then to see the things that only you can do and to praise you for them. Lord, help me to live with my eyes wide open, with my heart wide open to you in this. Hey, we may not walk on water. Maybe that was just for Peter. But God has other things just for you, and you'll know them. You'll see them if you take the step, if you keep looking to Jesus, if you keep going after him. You may be fearful. There may be things that challenge you and distract you. But Jesus is there. Come to me, he said. I wonder what it is that Jesus has in store, that he's just waiting for us, for you, for me, to ask. And I guess there's only one way to find out, isn't there? May we pray. Lord, help us to ask, to look to you, to get a request from you. Lord, take even the small, small faith that I know I sometimes have, and do what only you can do. Lord, we praise you. We praise you that we get to do this. Lord, we want to go the places where you would have us go. We want to see what you would have us see. Just the thought of being close to you like that. Bless us, Lord. Help us. Help us to leave behind anything that keeps us from drawing near. And help us to follow you in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paige, would you lead us in our last hymn?
Here is love and power.
that hymn came out of an incredible movement of God called the Welsh Revival. And that movement really started with a number of adolescent girls who were convicted of sin in their hearts and lives. And God was moving in a number of places at one time. But in this small church in Wales, these prayer meetings began to happen. And prayer meetings were a huge part of this revival. And the revival ended up affecting all of the British Isles. And it jumped the pond, came over here, affected the United States in some surprising places. But it was so pervasive in Wales that it changed the culture. I mean, you've got to understand, people were living entirely disinterested as far as God was concerned. There was just, you know, just no interest in him whatsoever. And the crime rate plummeted. Cops ended up, the Welsh loved to sing, and some of them actually would put together quartets and trios to go out and sing in churches, these police officers, because they didn't have anything else to do. You may have heard me mention before, and it's a true fact, that you know, a lot of mining was happening in Wales at the time, and some of the horses in the mines had to be retrained because they were used to responding to profanity. That changed. I mean, and look at again, just look at the lyrics. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. And it talks about this pouring out, this floodgate of God's mercy, this love just coming out. Let us seek his kingdom only and our lives to be his praise. He alone shall be our glory, nothing in this world we see. He has cleansed and sanctified us. He himself has set us free. And that's what it's about. That's what coming to Jesus is really all about. So often, I think the world has gotten such a wrong impression when you know, Christians make it about don't do this and don't do that. When what it's first about is a love relationship, and sure, that'll affect what we do and what we don't do, but first of all, it's him. He who came to show us the Father, to show us perfect love. So as we conclude this time today, I'd like to just take a moment to pray. And if you've listened to our talking about Peter today, and just thinking, you know, Lord, I'm not there, but I want to be. I want more of you. Let's just pray for that right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came so that we really could know you, that we could know God, that we could live in love with you. Thank you that it's all about love. Thank you that you really do set us free, that we're free when we no longer live for ourselves, but start to live for you. And you show us that, and you help us to feel that in our own skin. Lord, forgive us for looking to this world for the satisfaction which only you can give our souls. We come to you, we bow before you, we bow before your cross. We praise you for your blood shed for us. And maybe there's someone in the sound of my voice who has never prayed, Lord, I receive you. I receive what you did for me. I believe. I know I don't believe perfectly. I've got some questions, but I come to you. So, Lord, I do. I come to you, and I receive you. Lord, thank you for the life that you have waiting for me in you, for the beauty of all that you are, that is just ahead. Give me grace, I pray, to just live with you more and more every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless us and keep us. He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Look forward to seeing you tonight at our prayer meeting at 7 p.m. Go in peace. God bless you. And one more praise. Our Zoom meeting held up for the whole worship service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you all, folks.
After you're muted.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you. My goodness. Well, folks, if you were just muted for that, I want to just take a moment and pray with you the prayer that I just prayed. I guess I was muted for that whole time. I'm so sorry.